You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Series 2, Episode 29 of Between the Stripes LOI Podcast. Kieran Burke and John Breyer in studio for another action-packed show. John, welcome.
Evening, Kieran. How's things?
So we've had a little bit of fun on our Facebook Live. It's all about the Bows this week.
All about the Bows and their Bob Marley shirt, mate.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Worldwide acclaim they're getting for worldwide publicity. It's not every day you see that in the League of Ireland.
I was a bit shocked when I saw it, to be honest. It's not what I'd call a football jersey, but the amount of publicity and the amount they're going to sell is ridiculous.
I certainly won't be buying one. It's not my cup of tea.
You might find hundreds and thousands of Bows fans in Jamaica.
I think you're going to see this going worldwide, especially when you have someone like O'Neill's who can distribute that everywhere online. You know, it's great for the club. So fair play to them thinking outside the box. I think it's the sort of thing we need in the league. But for me, you're not going to see either of us wearing that on the podcast next season.
Definitely. Well, I won't wear another club's gear anyway, Kieran, unlike yourself.
No, me either. John, on tonight's show, we are speaking to three fine guests. Obviously, it's a huge week coming up for Limerick FC, the playoffs against Harps are on the horizon, and we speak to their manager Tommy Barrett as he aims to lift his troops for one final push at survival. We're going to speak to John O'Sullivan from the 42.ie. He's penned an excellent piece recently on the length of the off-season and the issues that causes clubs. We've also spoken to John about two of his former clubs, Limerick and Athlone, and the situations at those two clubs. And finally, we'll speak to Aidan Campbell, who is involved with Finn Harps Football Club. Obviously, they're facing Limerick in that playoff final, and they've had some news about the stadium, which is much welcomed, and we'll speak to Aidan about that. But John, only one place to start. Dundalk, once again, they're the headline makers this week. They've broken the record for points. Patrick Hooban now 11 on goals with Bradley and looking to break that record next time out. A 5-0 win over a very poor Sligo side, it must be said.
Yeah, pretty one-sided demolition this one, Kieran. And the writing was on the wall early enough. A bit of a mazy run by Paddy McElhaney. He was brought down. It looked to be outside the box, actually, Kieran.
Yeah, I was in the press box for this game. I was doing live updates for Between the Stripes, and it was an amazing bit of footwork from McElhaney.
Yeah.
Dances his way by two or three Sligo players. For me, at the game, it looked stonewall penalty, but I've watched it back on the highlights. It did seem to be just fractionally outside the box.
It's a tricky one for the ref, isn't it? Especially when players are going at pace and they dive into the box.
Mm.
It must be very, very difficult. But look, I suppose a little bit of justice was done by Pat Hooban actually missed the penalty.
When I was watching it, I'm obviously high up in the press box in the main stand in Ireland, and I'm looking down at the pitch. Everyone around me and myself, it looked like the goalkeeper made a fine save and tipped it onto the post. Now, it didn't look clear on Soccer Republic, and they weren't very generous with their replays, but I'm going to credit Ed McGuinty with that save, because he definitely looked to have got a fingertip on it. And he was Sligo's man of the match, despite the 5-0 scoreline.
Well, it was just an absolute one-sided battering, and Duffy hit the bar next. Duffy scored, didn't he? But that was ruled offside.
Yeah, again, a few tweets came in as I was doing the live updates from Sligo fans saying they thought that was onside. But again, Soccer Republic, not generous with the replay, so hard to judge on that one. But it was a great move by Dundalk, so very unlucky to have that one ruled out.
But when they did open the score, and it was from an absolute super pass from Ronan Murray, defence splitting pass, John Mountney onto it, he got the opener. And from there, the floodgates opened, Kieran, and Duffy with an angled drive, he hit the second. Mountney, a brave header from across to hit the third.
Both himself and Wickstead, who was the player he was involved in the collision with, they both had to go off at half-time as a result of that collision. I think it was more a precautionary type of thing, but it just shows the force he went in with, both players, honestly, in trying to win that ball. But it was Mountney that got on it and put it into the back of the net.
Second half, the momentum continued with Dundalk. Hooban had a shot blocked on the line. Fine stop, actually. But then Gannon was brought down. Hooban scored that resulting penalty. He wasn't going to give that penalty to anybody else, was he?
It's gas the different perspective you can have on it and an incident depending on where you're watching it from. As I was watching that game live, everyone around me, we all thought Gannon had gone down quite easily. But when you see the replay on Soccer Republic, there is a tangle of legs.
Oh, he's brought down,
So he slots it away, Hooban. He could have had a hat-trick with his head alone on the night, John. He really could have had 5 or 6 goals, Patrick Hooban alone. He was absolutely unplayable. And had his finishing been up to his usual standards, he would have been well past that 30-goal mark now.
Perfect game for Connolly to come out and play well. He terrorised them down the right. A lovely pullback, and Hooban put the cherry on the cake. 5-0, his 29th of the season.
Unbelievable season from Hooban. A great player to go and watch. So if you get a chance, if you're around Dalymount Park on Friday or free for the cup final, go and have a look, because strikers, when they're in this form, they're great to watch.
Has anybody championed his cause for an Ireland call up?
Not that I know of, no. But just on Connolly, you mentioned him there. As you said, perfect type of game for him to come on and expose down the Sligo side down the right. But you just wonder, when it matters in the big games, can he put in those type of performances? He was unplayable when he came on in this game, but when it really matters, can he come on in the cup final and make a difference? Yeah, can he do that in Europe?
He likes bullying the littler teams, doesn't he? I think. And that would be the big question. And that to me marks out a great player from a decent player. You know, you have to be able to come on and do it against the bigger opposition.
Yeah, but once again, congrats to Stephen Kenny and his team at Dundalk. It was an amazing night's entertainment, I have to say. There was almost 4,000 at the game. They had a... Their theme song was played live before the game. The whole stand was on their feet singing along to it. It was great, great buzz, great occasion for the people of Dundalk. And they've broken the points record now. They've broken the goals record. They've really done it all this season. And they'll go and look to win the double now on November the 4th. Let's go to Derry, where things aren't so bright, John. Defeated 3-0 at home by Cork City.
Yeah, we talked about the Derry at home theory being the gone. Myth being busted there at the moment, and they're having a pretty torrid time, and it feels very end of season-y for Derry at the moment. I know they won that League Cup final, but overall I think they've had a poor season.
They've had 18 league defeats, John. So we will be speaking about Kenny Shields. Obviously he had an explosive interview with the BBC this week where he walked out of the interview. So we're going to be speaking about that, because a lot of Derry fans aren't happy with his conduct lately. So we will be chatting about his future at Derry. But if you just want to run us through this win for Cork.
Yeah, well, Buckley made a good run early on. He threaded through for McNamee. He opened the scoring, 1-0. Fisk shot over at the other end. He seems to have been a decent...
addition.
Yeah, decent addition. That was tipped over, and the header also tipped over by Cherry. Sadly, a corner. Oh, dear me. Punched into his own goal by Jeddy.
I think that's the curse of the podcast, our guest last week.
There seems to be a couple of bad goalkeeping errors at the weekend. We talked earlier Jack Brady. And a man getting his a goal, Shane Daly Butts. A good goal from distance, Kieran.
I think it was a cross, John.
Yeah, well, give him the benefit of the doubt, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I've seen him play with the Irish University team, though, in the past, and I was impressed by him. He's a pacey little winger, so...
When they signed him, I had raised eyebrows. I've not really seen much of him.
I've seen him in action a few times, and I've been impressed with him. But with this Budget Cup coming next season at Cork, is it those type of players that maybe the club's going to be turning to?
Well, I think probably so, Kieran. I mean, one of the men we talked about scoring there, McNamee, you were saying that his future might be... There might be a few question marks about his future. There's also been a few other players linked out, but we'll talk about them maybe a little bit later. Yeah. We've got a little section on transfer rumours, haven't we?
Oh, sure. Anything to keep the interest. Because it does feel like the season has petered out a little bit, in all honesty. These games at the weekend, there wasn't a lot lying on them. It'll probably be the same this weekend now, bar obviously Hooban's looking for that record-breaking goal. Limerick then... They're playing one final league game, but it doesn't matter. It'll all be about the playoffs. But after that, all focus on the cup final. And then that's it for this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's it indeed.
But we'll move on to the next one, John. Comprehensive win for Bohemians away to Bray, 5-0 at the Carlisle grounds.
Yeah, and this was the Dinny Corcoran show. Struggled a bit early season, didn't he? But he seems to be really hitting form now. First, a bit too late at the end of the season.
Yeah, first Bowes player to get 4 since Jason Byrne back in 2009 against Dundalk. So a bit of history there for Dinny Corcoran.
Against who? Dundalk?
Yeah. I was just thinking that when that was read out on Soccer Republic. It's amazing how quickly things turn. 2009, getting battered by Bowes. And now, you know, you couldn't dream of that happening.
Right, well, I have to say my highlights might be a little limited on this one, but Dinny, with the first goal, he rounded the keeper to make it 1. It did seem a very, very one-sided affair, I have to say. Buckley fed Corcoran for the second. Keith Ward, usual trademark.
He had the freedom of the park. There was so much space for Buzz.
And you can't do that. No. We've talked about how, you know, he'll take a team apart with his range of passing and ability. He fed Devaney for the third. An absolute pinpoint ball from Ward to Corcoran for, and again, Ward again with a cross. Brilliant. To make it 5 for Corcoran's fourth goal. You can't give him that time and space, we know that.
One of the best midfielders to watch in the league when he's on song.
Yeah. We talked about the tough time that Gaz Kronin's had to start there. I know they got a win, which we'll be coming on to soon, but it just must demise. Feel terrible to go and watch. I'm sure they must have had a plan for Keith Wood. You don't go and play Bowes and say, I'll give him all the space in the middle of the field.
It's a very young Braeside towards the end of the season. He is blood and some youth. I know Dragos Malinga, a player I've mentioned to you here before, that was an under-19 at Longford. He's got a bit of game time with Bray recently. So I suppose for those players, regardless of the results, I know they don't like losing heavily like that, but it's still senior football minutes for them, and they're going to be looking to make an impression to get in and play first team minutes in the first division next season.
Yep, so, well, that's all it's about now for Bray, isn't it? Next season. We'll move on to Shamrock Rovers. They beat Waterford 3-1. Now, that could have been a crunch match a few matches ago, but it's really confirmed that both teams will be in Europe. Yes, exactly. So, again, another end-of-season feeling match.
I thought Rovers were quite good in this one. Waterford would have liked to finish third. It would have been a big statement to finish above Rovers in their first season back in the Premier, but they didn't really seem to create an awful lot, whereas Rovers, when they went forward, you always felt something was going to happen. So this was the sort of performance you'd like to see Rovers carry into next year, but again, can they do it when it matters next year, when the pressure is really on?
This one to me just felt like Waterford were a couple of players short of Rovers' level. So I know they started off so well this season, but they do look a couple of players light compared with, say, the top three teams. Dylan Watts had a goal ruled offside early on.
He's been a huge addition.
Well, he has, because we talked about the almost like the laboured midfield for Rovers. Finn and Bolger. So Watts has been a good signing from that point of view. Man linked with a move away this week. Gary Shaw, he headed just wide, and the deadlock was broken by Carr. His angled shot went in to make 1-0. He's starting to score a couple of leagues. Seems to be playing out wide.
Thoughts on Carr? Do you think he's good enough to be at Rovers next season? Is he another player that needs to prove he can do it when it matters?
Well, I hate to see this striker's being played out wide type thing. You know?
And I think once that happens, the manager in his own head has got the answer that he's not the man to play
out front. Yeah, yeah. So
they might keep him around the squad next season. That's the feeling I'm getting. They might just keep him around as a utility player. But I really think they're going to get they need to get a big number 9 in there.
Yeah, because you wonder about the future of Brandon Miele, if he's going to play Carr wide, because you know, at one stage when he was in his early days at Rovers, he looked one of the best prospects in the league, didn't he?
Everyone was talking about him and the next big thing to go to England. Yeah. It just hasn't materialised. There's a lot of players in this Rovers team that have been linked with moves at the moment. Joel Goostrain has been linked with a move to St Mirren, although I don't think that style of football in Scotland would suit him at all. If he's to go, there could be a bit of rebuilding again to do for Shamrock Rovers. And when you're having to rebuild all the time, it's very, very hard to try and catch that top two, even with the budget cuts coming at Cork.
Well, I think the key is keeping all the likes of Lee Grace, who's had a very good season, and it sounds like he's not going to do too much with, you know, he's got Manus in goals. You know,
back four, he's going to keep his back.
It's the front players. And to be fair, that's where they've struggled a bit, lack of goals and things. So, you know, we've criticised them for not having a front man. Well, after criticising them for not having a goalkeeper for most of the season. So,
Is he slowly finding his feet at Rovers, Stephen Bradley?
I think so, Kieran.
I've heard this question asked by some pundits. This great run of form they've had towards the end of the season, it's come when the title is long gone and buried. Mm-hmm. Can they put on a run of form like this when it would really, really matter if they were in a title race? Could they keep playing football like this?
It's difficult to know, isn't it?
We'll
just have to see what he brings in next season. I think he'll be going out for a big name striker, but I can't see a striker in the League of Ireland apart from Hooban who would come in and improve that team.
If you give me time to sit down and think about it, I'd probably go. But now that I'm on the spot, it is difficult. It's very hard to find a player that's going to guarantee you 20 league goals. You know, and that's a big thing for the first division clubs too.
Yeah,
and it's no surprise that we've seen the clubs with the top strikers like the Georgie Kellys, etc. They're the ones that perform best this season. That's the way football works. That's why the money goes to the strikers so much. The big transfer fees, the big wages. They're not easy to find, especially at this level.
Yeah, one man that we both had in our team of the season, Bastian Eyre, he placed a nice ball for O'Halloran in, but Manus saved the shot, and he also saved from Rory Feely then as well. The second goal came from a bit of scrappy stuff in the box, but that was 2-0 to Rovers. Hutchinson cross, Akinadi pull one back 2-1. And at that stage, you wonder whether, oh yeah, very good. But where's he been all season?
Exactly.
You know, he's done very little.
Maybe are Waterford going to look to maybe replace him, not as in get him out of the squad? He might become more of a squad player, see less game minutes, but are they going to look and try and get another big striker in now to get the goals that he didn't this year?
Well, I think so, because, well, they brought Noel Hunt in, didn't they? He's doing well, but
they have the finances to do it.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they go out and bring in another three or four top players.
I think if they want to go to the next level, they're going to have to be ruthless. There can be no loyalties to players that have got them this far. They need to go out there and get the very best players they can.
Yeah. Look, Waterford could have levelled this one. O'Brien header from pinpoint ball. That hit the bar. But at the end, Sean Boyd, goal from a cross from Ronan Fincross. That made it 3-1 at the end.
Yeah, not much more we can say on that, John. No, I think the better team won on the day, and table doesn't lie. Rovers deserve to get their third, just ahead of Waterford. A little spell of inconsistency midway through the season, I think that's cost them that third spot. But look, it looks like they're going to be in Europe next season, so I don't think they'll care too much about that. We'll move on to our next fixture. It was a comprehensive win for Pats. They beat a very, very poor Limerick side by 4-0 at a deserted Market Fields.
Well, this was an awful performance from Limerick. I've told you already this season, Kieran, many, many matches ago, this is a first division side, and I think that's exactly what's going to be proved in the playoffs.
I'm not ready to write them off yet, but I've been adamant all season to you that Limerick would stay up through the playoffs no matter who they played, but this is the first time now I'm really starting to feel like there's a good chance, very, very good chance, they could go down. I think we'll obviously be previewing this playoff game, but I think it's all going to come down to this first leg. If Harps are allowed the freedom of Finn Park and they go and blow Limerick away by 2 or 3 goals, that's it. There's no way they're coming back with their form in the league. They're going to be just so low on confidence. If Limerick can go there and even lose by just a single goal, they'll take it back to the Market Fields. They'll have a chance. That is what it is down to now at this stage for Limerick. They need to have a chance going into that second leg.
Well, this was an awful performance, gutless performance, I'd say, because, you know, Pats carved them open at will, and this is Pats who've been no great shakes this season, Kieran.
Very true.
But anyway, a corner was headed onto the bar earlier, and Toner, he was quick first to hit the follow-up into the net. That made it 1-0. The second, how many times have we seen a long ball pull Limerick apart? You know, that fell to Jake Keegan. He made it 2. It was nearly 3 after a howler from a back pass, Kieran, and that was Limerick defence eventually cleared that. But Manu Ayad in my team of the season, and you raise your eyebrow this one, Simon Madden. He was absolutely
excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Super run. He passed it out wide, got the ball back and hammered it home to make it 4-0. That's why I put him in the team of the year. That kind of attacking threat that he has, Kieran. And to be honest, Marky should have made it 5. Pats hit the bar late on. It was just a massacre.
It could have been a massacre.
Yeah, it could have been.
We'll go to the showgrounds, Sligo against Bohemians. It ended 1-1.
Yeah, again, not much to play for there. I suppose Sligo have been quite happy with a point against Bose.
Yeah, not a lot to play for here.
No, but one game where there was a lot to play for, and an absolutely massive victory for Bray. They beat Derry at home.
Well, there wasn't a lot to play for, but I mean,
doesn't matter.
That's what I mean.
That's a brilliant result.
It's a great result for Gary. I'm delighted for Gary Cronin. A great result for him, and there seemed to be a great reception to this victory, even though they're already gone down. There seems to be a great buzz around the break camp, and I'm sure they'll be looking to carry that positive momentum into the off-season.
Was,
but for Derry,
it was freeing for a lot of fans as well, wasn't it? It's great to see what they've been doing with trying to get fans behind them, even though it's been an awful season for Bray. They are doing the best. But
for Derry, this is a disgraceful result.
Well, I am very, very worried about Derry. I'd be concerned they could lose the likes of McNeff and
Ali Roy.
Yeah. You look at the Hale lads.
I mean, what player? The atmosphere around that camp seems to be quite poor at the moment. The fans are clearly not happy with the manager. We had issues earlier in the season with the ticket prices for European games. There just seems to be issues.
It's just so negative, isn't it?
Negative. Yeah. And that's why players, if they have a choice to go elsewhere, are they really going to want to stay with Derry? Can they see where this project is going with Derry? Kenny Shields has called this a good season because they've won the League Cup. They've lost 18 of their league
games.
It's been an atrocious season.
Yeah.
And a Derry fan actually raised a very good point on our Twitter page today, at Between Stripes, if you want to give it a follow. He said, only for the fact that Dundalk put out a reserve team against Cove in that League Cup, maybe we wouldn't have even won that League Cup then. This league season would really be put into perspective. Yeah. That was an excellent point, I think. Where do we go with Derry, John?
Well, the first question is, do they stick with the manager?
It seems they're going to.
Yeah. I don't know. He's been very good to us. He's been on the show before, hasn't he, Kieran? Yeah. And, you know, he's nice to talk to.
Yeah, but we have to call it as it is, John.
I know. It's just all too negative there at the moment. I just worry that they'll lose two or three of their better players and they'll be struggling to bring players in. I think they could be in all sorts of trouble next season.
When you said it,
I'm already putting it on the line.
When you said it to me before we
started, I don't get these predictions wrong very often.
Well, before we started recording, when you said to me, I think Derry could be in a bit of a scrap next season, I kind of thought, no. But when you say it like that, another two or three players go.
Yeah.
He probably might look then again to the UK to bring players in because he's finding it hard to attract players to Derry. Mm-hmm. That's understandable given their location and things like that. If those players in the UK don't settle, like we've seen at Derry, like we've seen at Sligo, another good example,
Then
they could be in a world of trouble. And with that negativity around the camp, that's not going to help young players coming through either. If I was the board now, I would be looking at the manager, seriously.
If Derry were to have a relegation fight next season, that would be an absolute disaster for that club. Mm.
They've lost the European money now for next season because they're not going to finish in the top four. That's where they want to be. How do they move to that next step? That's the big question for Kenny Shields. He obviously doesn't have the same finances and he keeps bringing it up. But I think he still should be doing a lot better with the resources he has there.
Yeah. I know it is a bit of a broken record, the finances, isn't it, up there? But, I mean, they've got a great stadium, a good fan base. There's no reason why Derry shouldn't be successful.
I think his negativity in the press really isn't helping his case either.
Yeah. I'd love to maybe get some fans tweeting us and things, and I'd love to find out what the general gist is there. Yeah. Maybe hold a Twitter poll, Kieran.
I think we did.
In or out,
we
yes.
We did, and it was out, I'm afraid, and it was quite comprehensively out. So, look, Derry fans, we're really enjoying the interaction with yourselves online. So if you do want to give us your opinion on Kenny Shields and whether he should be there next season, do leave us a tweet at Between Stripes or use the hashtag Between the Stripes. We're also on facebook.com/Between the Stripes. John, Harps are through to the playoff final. They beat Drogheda 2-0. We're going to be hearing from our first guest of the evening any second now in Aidan Campbell. But the Drogs, it just was one game too many, I'm afraid.
Well, we thought that might be the case, didn't we? I mean,
and they looked a bit leggy on the night.
It was bound to be. I mean, we're talking about possible six matches to get promoted. And, you know, they'd had that absolute extra time humdinger of a match, hadn't they? So it was always going to be a tough task. And to me, like we discussed, they had to get something out of that home leg. They had to win the home match.
Yeah, and what an awful week for Drogheda now. It seems that Shelburne are going to try and poach their manager.
I think Clancy has some link with Shelburne, I believe. So, reading between the lines. So it would not surprise me in the slightest.
Compensation would have to be paid. So obviously Shelburne will be aware of that. So they're clearly appointing Tim Clancy as manager.
Sounds like they've marked him as the man.
Mm, I mean, from his perspective, Shelburne clearly have more finances to play with than Drogheda. If he goes there, could he even bring a couple of players with him? This is a big, big point for Drogheda. Just when things seem to be going in the right direction and off the field as well with the new stadium plans, this could be a disaster for them.
Well, it's obviously going to be a bigger budget at Shells, isn't it?
Mm.
And Clancy did a brilliant job with a box of Lego with no instructions, didn't he, really?
Yeah, very well.
He had very little to go with this season, but he made a great a squad that's had a great go at getting promoted this season. So you can understand why Shells are in for him.
Yeah. Look, I think there's no better man to speak to about this this Harps win over Drogheda than Aidan Campbell himself, a man heavily involved with Finn Harps. And we're going to speak to him a little bit about the stadium news as well. So here is our interview with Finn Harps man, Aidan Campbell. So we're joined on the line now from Finn Harps by Aidan Campbell. Aidan, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Aidan, I'd imagine the excitement and the buzz is building around Donegal. First leg of the playoff final on Bank Holiday Monday. Limerick are the visitors. You had over 2,000 at your last game against Drogheda. Absolutely fantastic. I'd imagine that's one of the biggest crowds in many years at Finn Park. A bit of positive news about the stadium in recent days. And your under-17s are in a final as well on Saturday against Shamrock Rovers under-17s in Buncrana. So really positive times for Finn Harps, I think it's fair to say, Aidan.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives, Kieran, and to be honest, all League of Ireland clubs know that you have to really savour these type of times because they don't always last, Kieran. You usually have I suppose, two or three clubs that enjoy winning trophies year to year, and the rest of us, we make the best of the good times. But I think it's for clubs like Finn Harps, you know, it's even more satisfying when things start to come together. We've had a long term plan. I think the last time we spoke, we just kind of briefly went through the history of the club when, about 10 years ago, like everybody, we incurred a large debt after perhaps spending a little bit too much, and we had to save the club before we rebuilt it, Kieran, you know, and it was a really tough slog behind the scenes. And, you know, once we managed to get, you know, the kind of debt under some control, it was kind of hand-to-hand fighting sometimes, just getting by. And around that time, I think you remember a few clubs that actually go bust. And it's very positive now, because we put a lot of faith into youth development and into mostly locally based side. That the stadium project, which you mentioned, it went by the wayside around that time of the Celtic Tiger crash as well. The sod was actually turned on it in 2009. So to get back, to get that project back on stream again, and with both the underage side performing very well, they all did well in their groups, and the under-17s actually won the McFarren Cup earlier on this year, and now they're in the final of the league against Shamrock Rovers, as you say, on Saturday. But obviously the big news around the county, and what everybody's looking forward to, the game against Limerick. We had a great crowd against Broad, a fantastic atmosphere on the ground, and those are the nights which, you know, you can, you know, can follow up with the PR you can do. People come and enjoy a good atmosphere, the best PR you can do, especially when you win. So yeah, good times at the moment.
So Aidan, we're up against Limerick. They've just been battered by Pats at home. They go to Waterford on Friday night, and then 2 days later they come up to Harps. It's all pointing towards a Harps win, surely.
Well, John, to be honest, I appreciate that, and I don't appreciate it the first time, because it just doesn't work out like that. We'll prepare for, you know, I'll give you an example, John. We played Bray earlier on the year, and I think they were the bottom of the league. We played them in the first round of the Cup. Mm-hmm. And what was very noticeable, you know, when you play in the first division is, you know, you come up against teams who have professional players and players who've played in the Premier for quite a few years. So we went up there, and, you know, it took us five, 10 minutes to kind of adjust, just to up the pace against a team like that, even though that they, you know, they were struggling in the Premier League. So there was a step up at times, but, you know, look, we will go into the match, and Ollie never takes anything for granted, and the players don't take things for granted. I presume, you know, they have 9 or 10 players who all would have several years experience in the Premier League. A couple of them are actually with us last year, Danny Morrissey and Killian Cowell, and we know they're good lads, so they're both considered very good players in the First Division. So there's a few more players like that, John, and we'll take for long for granted. I presume they'll rest a few on Friday. I'd be surprised if they don't, and they'll be ready for us on Monday. So we'll go in ready, and they're ready for a battle, and then we're down just on the following Friday, then down to the Markets Field. And of course, everybody points out to the fact that it was Limerick that we played when we got promoted a couple of years back, and they actually put the first leg down there against Sean Kelly. Over the screen with a goal, and we came up here then, and of course there was the BJ band, the winner, and then in the last minute, which has now become, I think, legendary, not just at Fun Harps, but throughout League of Ireland football.
You'll be hoping Paddy McCourt goes out with a bang.
Yeah, you know, look, you get a player that's your club, and it creates a lot of excitement, and you know, he's got a certain presence in and around the club, not just on the pitch. He's a very calm kind of guy, and he gets on well with everybody. You know, you see the club volunteers and the people who do the after match food, and just the way the guy carries himself, and that rubs off on players. And a goalkeeper, Kieran Gallagher, I think, and I've been on your own show here, you know, spoke about just the experience that younger players will get from playing with the likes of him. That is an excitement factor as well. He's got a fantastic goal with Kevin Tierney here a few weeks back, and there's a buzz in the crowd when he gets the ball. and Liverpool is driving runs forward, and they're hoping to repeat something like the goal we got against Sligo last year, which I think went viral around the world. So yeah, it could be the emotional day for Paddy as well, actually, because it'll be potentially his last two matches in football, and so he'll definitely want to go out with a bang and leave his mark. You know, he's just that type of player. So we're hoping that he beats 9 Limerick players and puts it in the top corner and give our punters a bit of value for money.
Well, that would certainly be some way to round it off, Aidan. Aidan, superb stuff as always. Thanks very much for joining us. And it's great to see such positivity coming out with the Finn Harps camp at the moment. And I'm sure there's going to be a huge crowd turning out at Finn Park on Monday.
Kieran, John, thanks as always. Best of luck, man. Cheers.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, bye.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Okay, John, so let's move on to the weekend previews, and we'll start at Dalymount Park. It's Bohemians against Dundalk, with Patrick Hooban chasing that Premier Division record.
Yeah, that's really about the only thing going this weekend, if you look at some of the matches. But yeah, this should be a good one. Bo's in decent form, obviously against the champions, Dundalk. It's all about Hooban, isn't it? And whether he can get that record.
Yeah, and just on Bo's, when I was watching their performance, obviously against a very poor Bray side, but in recent weeks, some of the football they've played has been fantastic. And you just wish they had got to that cup final. I think it would have been a fantastic prospect, Bo's and Dundalk at the Aviva.
Yeah, it would have been a good match, yeah. Because, I mean, both teams like to play the right way. Yeah. So, yeah, it would have been a good match. And I think we'd have been royally entertained by that one. But so this is almost like a small version of what could have been, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure Dundalk are going to make changes. Hooban will definitely start because he wants that record. Yeah. But if he gets the record, I'm sure the first thing Kenny will do will be whipping him off, because he doesn't want any players going into that cup final, not 100%. The only unfortunate news from Dundalk in recent days, it doesn't look like Stephen O'Donnell is going to feature in any competitive action this season. He has a slight hamstring injury, and that's just holding him back.
It would be tough to bring him in now, Kieran. I know he played that that friendly charity match up in Newry.
Yeah, he picked up a knock in that.
It's not worth risking him. I mean, that could be the end of his career if anything more goes. So it's not worth it at this stage of the season.
Yeah, just disappointing. But then again, if it's a tight cup final, would he have come on anyway? Because you really do need to be firing at all cylinders in such a full-blooded game like Cork and Dundalk. But look, we've said all we can on this Bo's Dundalk game. Hoob is looking for the record. If you were going to pick a winner, though, either side, where are you going?
I'm going for Dundalk, Kieran. I think they'll have enough.
I think the fact Hooban's looking for that record just gives them the edge. They have something to play for.
I think he's going to score. He's got to score a goal, hasn't he?
Yeah. And that just gives them the edge. I think it'll be a narrow win, maybe 2-1.
Yeah. Dundalk have quality replacements for that first team well, so you've got to remember that. But Bowes won't want to give that one away easily enough, and they'll be looking to put a spanner in.
Yeah, I'm sure a big crowd will turn out with Dalymount to send off their Bowes team. They've done very well this year.
Yeah. Cork host Bray, you think it's be a home one. A little glimmer of light with Bray beating Derry there at the weekend.
Cork will be making changes as well.
Well, they will, yes.
But we've seen their reserve side go out and batter Limerick recently, and I think this will be something very similar.
I think they'll batter Bray, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think so.
So a home win there. Look, Cork will be wanting to put down a marker ahead of that cup final as well, Kieran. They're getting written off in a lot of places.
A couple of players will be fighting for positions there as well. I mean, is Cummins going to start the cup final? Would they maybe go with Coughlin? O'Hanlon, is he going to get a look in? There's a few places still up for grabs there, so I'm sure that'll all be sorted out in the next couple of days. It's a battle of the Rovers at the Showgrounds as Sligo Rovers and Shamrock Rovers end their respective seasons.
Yeah, well, Shamrock Rovers, they're improving, and they're showing me enough promise that they could maybe challenge those top two next season, Kieran.
Well, I've seen Sligo up close last Friday, and I don't give them much hope in this game. They were absolutely hammered by Dundalk. The only players that really showed any promise was their goalkeeper. Mikey Drennan looked dangerous if he got some service, but unfortunately he didn't get any. And there was a few good crosses from wide positions. That really was about it for Sligo. They're quite a poor outfit, in all honesty. Mm. And I expect Shamrock Rovers to pick up quite a comfortable win here.
It's just a tale of a team that gambled in the close season with the signings, and it just didn't pay off for them, really.
Like Derry, Sligo find it hard to attract players. I know we spoke about this last week, and I know we've had Sligo guests on that have mentioned it, that they do have to go to the UK a lot for their players.
Yeah, Kieran, is they're a full-time outfit, and they've got great facilities there. It's a great football town, Sligo. So
the players don't always want to relocate. That's a big thing.
I totally get that. And at the end of the day, players want to go to Dublin. It's the capital city. There's everything going on. So I can understand why it is difficult for the likes of Derry, Sligo, Limerick to attract certain players.
There's no shopping for the wags in Sligo.
No. No. Look, I think Rovers will win this one quite easily. So. Yeah. Pats host Derry. Derry on a real slide. Pats, who gave Limerick a thrashing there at the weekend.
Yeah, and the breaking news coming in tonight as we're recording is Harry Kenny has been appointed St. Pat's manager. John, you said he was the most likely option last week. What do you make of now that the deal is sealed?
Yeah, I think it's a good appointment for Pats. I was impressed with what Harry did at Bray under very difficult circumstances, it had to be said.
When he came in, it was difficult, and then he had that bit of money to play with, and he did excellent, and then it all went to crap again.
Yeah,
so hopefully he gets a bit more stability at Pats, which I'm sure he will.
He will, because it's a good club, is Pats.
Yeah, well run.
It is well run. I mean, he will have a budget, and he'll have to stick to it.
Yeah, it won't be massive. I'm sure that budget he probably had at Bray, when things were going well there, it was a lot more than what Pats can...
But Harry will be looking at that squad, and he'll think, I've got a few good players here, and I can build around these players.
Yeah, you know, players that did well for him at Bray, if he can pluck a few of them as well back to Richmond Park.
Yeah, that's a possibility. I think he'll improve them, I have to say. And
you have Bray playing good football, so obviously that's something that you must do at St. Pat's to keep the fans happy. That's the way they want to see their team play. I think it's a good appointment. I think he'll do well.
And I hope he gets off to a good start, because if he gets off to a good start,
bit of momentum,
watch the crowd there at Pat's. You'll get great crowds in there. There'll be such positivity, and could do very well there.
Derry could do with a bit of positivity, John. Can they end their season with a win?
No, I don't think they can. They're in absolute free fall at the moment. It doesn't matter whether they're playing at home or away, the same difficulties are happening. For me, he never fixed the defensive frailties that he had. The signings like Seaman, I know we talked about him, and he was once playing Premiership. He played 50 odd matches in the Premiership. He's not playing Premiership now, and he wasn't getting much of a look in at Exeter City. And you have to wonder sometimes why these players go so low levels, and he's not fixed it at Derry. And it's okay talking about difficulty to attract players and losing players to other clubs, but they've got to play better than they're playing.
I think someone that Kenny Shields could look at is Keith Long. He did his post-match interview the other night at Soccer Republic, and he said we've had a reasonably good season and how they want to stick that team together and build on it. Whereas Kenny Shields came out, his team has had an awful league season, and he said they've had a good season and it was full of excuses. I can't see where this project at Derry is going at the moment, apart from on the downward slide. I really do think they need to have a serious look in the off-season and forget about all this talk in the media and focus on the main problem, which at the moment seems to be the manager for me. I don't think Derry win this one. I think Pats will end their season.
Yeah, it's just been a poor season for Derry. I know they had that cup win, but like you said, if Dundalk hadn't put that weakened side out...
I mean, even in the final, they were poor against Cove.
Yeah, but even going back to Europe and how they capitulated at home and the prices to people in, it just seems all wrong there, Kieran.
I'm not sure why the fans are. Well, the fans aren't, but I'm not sure why the board is accepting 18 league defeats.
No, that's poor.
I know Kenny Shields has done great work over the last couple of seasons and in very difficult circumstances and everything, and credit to him. And I think with the League Cup now, he should just bow out with a bit of grace. I think the league season has been a complete and utter disaster for Derry.
Would not surprise me if Derry coming in with a different manager next season. It would not surprise me.
I think they'll stick with him unless he decides he's had enough and walks away. But I think they'll stick with him. But a poor start next season and it's curtains.
Yeah, so do we think Pats are going to beat Derry?
I'll give Pats a win.
Yeah, and the final match is this journey for Limerick before they have this playoff match, and I don't know what kind of team Limerick can put out at Waterford.
This is a real nuisance game for Limerick.
I'm sure they'd just like to say, here, have a 10-0 win, Waterford, because what is the point in Limerick playing this?
No, there is none. There is absolutely none.
Waterford are going to wipe the floor with them, no matter what team they put out. Yeah. And the risk to Limerick is suspensions, injuries. Morale
destroying. Can't go any lower, can it?
Yeah, well, it's low as it is, but if Waterford go and put six or seven past them, they're going to be, what hope is it? We've got to travel up to Finn Harps on Monday and face lights of Paddy McCourt. You know.
No, if I'm Limerick, I put the 19s out for this. I say...
and that's exactly what he should do. Yeah. And he should take the first 11 away from that match completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nowhere near it. Yeah, and get them trained up and get them ready for that playoff match. Stick the 17s out if you have to. But forget that game. That is just a nuisance.
I agree. Definitely going to be a whitewash result here, I think, for to end what's been a fine season for them. Yeah. We're going to hear now from the Limerick boss, Tommy Barrett. Okay, folks, so it's a massive game for both Limerick and Finn Harps on Bank Holiday Monday. It's the first leg of the playoff final. And we're joined on the line now by the Limerick FC manager, Tommy Barrett. Tommy, welcome back to the show.
Cheers, lads. Thanks.
So, Tommy, I think it's an unusual situation. Usually the Premier Division team would be red-hot favourites going into this type of game. But I think this year a lot of pundits seem to be making Finn Harps favourites due to the lack of form, I suppose, of your team coming into this game. How do you feel you're going to be able to change your fortunes around for what is a massive game for Limerick FC?
Yeah, look, I just don't think it's just a lack of form. It's probably, you know, the resources that Harps have, the players that they have, you know, that's what I mean by resources, I suppose. They're probably more experienced team than us, you know, and particularly in these situations, you know. And obviously with Ali and Paul Hegarty there as well, they've experienced staff as well. So, you know, I suppose the only thing we've probably have going for us is we're playing in the Premier League all year, you know. So we're hoping that should stand for us. But, you know, it's been a difficult year. We've a lot of young players, you know. We've 9 players in the squad under 19, so it's a really young squad. And, you know, 13 of our squad are under the age of 22. So we lack that experience. But it's going to be difficult. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, we got to go up there and be as confident as possible and try to play the way we normally play, and you know we actually play good football, I feel, but the problem we have is that we concede too many goals and we're not penetrative enough in the final third. You know, we don't score enough.
Yeah,
it's a huge problem for us, but it's not for the lack of effort by the lads. You know, they've been trying hard all year. There's a few games all right where teams, you know, give us bad beatings and they kind of dropped the heads a bit, but in most games it's been close enough for a lot of the games anyway, you know.
Yeah, we've been just speaking about this first leg coming up on Bank Holiday Monday, and the general feeling seems to be that even maybe a 1-goal defeat mightn't be the worst result in the world. It's all about keeping it alive going into that second leg. Would you agree with that, or are you looking to try and take something positive away from this first game on Monday?
Well, I think the way we play, or the form we've been in, or, you know, all season, it's very difficult for us to come back down from a 1-goal lead. We haven't done it much, you know, so we'd be hoping to get a result, but obviously we know that's going to be difficult. Like, Harps haven't lost since June, bar Dundalk, against Dundalk, you know, and that was only 3-1 against, you know, the best team in the country by a mile. So, you know, every time we played Dundalk, the closest we got to them was 1-0, you know. And other than that, we were comprehensively beaten on the three or four occasions, actually, because we played them 5 times. But, you know, I know you can't really judge it off of that, but they're the farm team, and we just have to go in and try our best and put a game plan together and see can we get that win, you know. I know Ali will play it down as well, like, but...
Yeah, he seems to be...
really, this year, they are... I believe favourites, you know.
Yeah, Ollie seems to be quite good at that, all right. But you have one league game left.
He is, isn't he?
You have one league game left before this playoff game. Would you rather not play it?
Yeah, I think it would have been very interesting if Shamrock Rovers and Waterford were still going for third place, or Bowes were in the cup final, you know, because. And Bowes were still a chance of winning the cup, because you know, I suppose I have to look after my squad first and foremost. Now, I don't have many players to leave out because we've so many injuries and we've such a low numbers in squad anyway. But at the same time, you know, to play on a Friday away from home and then to play up in Harps again on a Monday is a really difficult task, considering they have a 10-day break as well. And I know, like, a lot of people say we're full time, but we're not. We're not full time. Like, I've 8 full-time players, and two of those are long-term injuries, and 6 of those lads, there's only one really that's experienced at the moment in Shane Duggan, and all the rest are young lads. And other than that, I've 9 amateurs and 7 part-time players in a squad of 24. So, you know, we're not full-time, certainly. by any stretch of the imagination. I know other managers like to put it out there that we are, but we're not.
Yeah, one of the changes you made before your most recent game against Pats was in goals. Jack Brady, obviously a man we know well from his time here in Longford, started. He made a very poor error, I think he'd admit himself, for the third goal. What was the decision behind that? Was it just to try and give Jack some minutes?
Yeah, well, look, there's not much difference between the two lads. They're two good young keepers, you know. Ideally, both of them probably should be second keepers still, you know, because they're so young. And, you know, Jack's born in 96, a bit older than Tommy. Tommy's born in 98. So, you know, they're 20 and 22, which is very young for goalkeepers. So, but that's the type of player we're dealing with at the moment. It's a very young squad. It's a very, I suppose that's the positive side of it. There's young players getting experience in Premier League football, and we've blooded a lot of young players. But, you know, it's been really difficult for them, but it will stand to them in the long term.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say they're both two very highly rated young goalkeepers. Has it almost been a bit of a hindrance having two such good prospects there on battling for that number one jersey? Would it be much easier for you as a manager if you had that old veteran and then the young goalkeeper coming up?
Yeah, but look, ideally, Brendan Clark, you know, was probably the biggest loss for us because he's, you know, so experienced in that position, and he would bring the other Tommy or Jack on. But at the same time, you know, we have the two lads now, and as you said, they're two good young prospects. I think they will be two good goalkeepers for many years in the league. And as I said, there's not much difference between them. So, you know, you're playing, you know, Tommy didn't play brilliantly against Cork, so we had a look at Jack, and, you know, we'll play him again against Waterford. And we'll make a decision then who we're going to play, you know, and it'll be down to who we think can deal with Harps and get us playing more as well. So it'll just come down to that, you know. There's no sentiment in it. It's just whoever's on form or whoever think is going to do the best job for us on the day.
And looking at Harps in particular, Tommy, I presume you've watched plenty of them this season, but you'll be hoping to keep that man Paddy McCourt quiet. He's coming towards the end of his career. I'm sure he'll want to go out on a high, and hopefully you'll have some plans to deal with him.
Yeah, look, and he's a difficult one to deal with, isn't he, lads? You know, he's a really good player. He's, you know, he's top class. You know, he's coming towards the end of his career, but he can still pull the strings for sure. He's slowed down a bit. He's probably playing a different type of role where he's not. You know, he can still go by players, don't get me wrong, but he wouldn't be doing it week in and week out, and he pulls the strings from it at the moment. But, you know, look, I suppose we can't be too negative either. We have players as well, and the likes of Barry Maguire and Shane Duggan in the middle of the park, you know. So that'll be an interesting battle in the middle of the park, you know. We can match anyone in there when we're on form. So that'll be surely interesting here.
Finally, Tommy, I'm sure just the uttering of the words playoff and Finn Harps brings back some very bad memories for people involved with Limerick. But then when you look at a situation like Dundalk in the past, they were down and out in 2012, looked like they were almost certain to go down in that playoff against Waterford. They had financial difficulties off the pitch. If you could turn this around and stay up this season, how big would it be for yourselves and Limerick?
Massive. I think it's huge. It's huge for the club. You know, we spent 20 years in the first division. So, you know, the last thing we want to do is go down. And, you know, I would have played a lot of the time there as well. And, you know, the only time we got out of that really was when when Pat O'Sullivan came in and he put money into it. And it took Pat Scully 3 or 4 years to get out of it with money, you know, and importing players. And, you know, we have to look at ourselves as a club going forward and see where we want to go, and look at football in the region and see where it wants to go and how it develops, and, you know, produce our own players. But, you know, we need to all pull together as a soccer community in the region, you know, and get everyone wanted to play for Limerick FC and produce our own homegrown players. And, you know, we haven't in Limerick produced a senior international since I don't know when, you know. And even lads playing around the league from Limerick and even this region have been few and far between in the last 20 years at the top level in the Premier League. You know, I suppose Barry Ryan from Ennis would have played 3 years in goals. You know, Bobby Ryan, good friend of mine, would have played 3 years at a high level in this league. But even exports to England, we have Willie Boland from Limerick, and he's back with us now, and Brian O'Callaghan. And currently in the league at the moment, we probably have Ronan Coughlin and Joel Custrain. Besides playing with ourselves, of course, we have our few lads, but, you know, we need to start producing more players in this region. you know, and we have to look at that and see where we go, you know. Because we can't keep bringing in lads from the outside, you know, and all the time. Whilst they've done well for us, it's cost a lot of money to run a club in the League of Ireland, as everyone knows, and we have to start producing our own. And hopefully, you know, we can do that, but it's going to be very difficult to stay in the league, even with all those young players and players coming through. It might take time, you know.
Yeah, as someone that watches more First Division football than Premier Division football, we all know what a difficult league it is to get out of, and some clubs have been down there for a very long time. So, look, Tommy, we're going to wish you the very best for this playoff game against Harps. Thanks for coming on the show. Very honest, as always, and best of luck for that game against Harps.
No problem, Les. Thank you. Cheers. Take care.
Enjoying the show so far? Why not leave us a review on iTunes? Want something featured on next week's show? Get in touch via Twitter at Between Stripes or find us on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Finally, our new website address is www.betweenthestripes.ie. Enjoy the second half. BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Before we go tonight, John, we're going to take a look at the PFEI teams of the year from the Premier Division and First Division. We might just have a little chat ourselves among the other awards, like the Manager of the Year, things like that. Do you want to take us through the Premier Division team first, and then we'll have our little say on it?
Yeah, we've got Shane Supple in goals. Defenders, Gannon McLaughlin, Hoare and Darragh Leahy. Fielder, Robbie Benson, Bastian Herry, Chris Shields, Kieran Sadley, and up front, Pat Hooman and Michael Duffy.
Yeah, strange for me.
Okay, what's strange, Kieran?
First of all, I can't see how Brian Gartland or Cleary is not in that team. Sean Hoare is in there at centre-half when he's played mostly at right full back. For Dundalk this season.
Yeah.
Robbie Benson has had his worst season in Dundalk shirt.
We were just saying that before, Andy. Like, you know, you think of the goals he scored in Europe previous season. He's had his worst season. Yeah,
if you speak to any Dundalk fan that watches him week in, week out, he's had a poor season.
Yeah, and I was very surprised to see him there.
Mountney is in that team at the moment, and Benson might get hard to get his shirt back for next season. Mm-hmm. Or even for this cup final, I think Mountney will start the cup final, in all honesty.
Yeah, I have no disagreement with that. He's playing well, isn't he?
Yeah, what do you make of Supple being the...
Well, I had him down a second to Vigouroux, and so you can understand because obviously Vigouroux's back over in England there. So, if it's a keeper there at the moment, it's Shane Supple. I know you were going with...
I had Rodgers in my team last week, but obviously...
You're wrong.
I'm going to be called biased. So.
Yeah.
let's take a look at the First Division team. We have Dean Delaney from Shelburne. Defenders, Conor Kane, Drogheda, Daniel O'Reilly, Longford, Liam Scales, UCD, Derek Prendergast from Shells. Midfielders, Sean Brennan of Drogheda, Gary O'Neill, UCD, Dara O'Connor, UCD, and up front, the top scorer in the First Division this season, David O'Sullivan with Shelburne, Georgie Kelly, previously of UCD, now Dundalk, and Dylan McGlaid of Longford Town. John, thoughts?
It's hard to argue with any of that forward line. I know you were saying about Davey O'Sullivan's...
Goals drying up
and his form going down, but he's still the top scorer in the league. If you're going to pick a forward, it's going to be the top goal scorer.
He lost his place in the Shell team towards the end.
That's maybe, you know, why his form dipped. If it had been played a few more.
He was out of the team because his form dipped, so...
But I think, what 18, 19 goals?
No,
like
it was
that,
only about 15, I think, he won it with this year.
Okay, you've been very harsh on him, I think. He's still top scorer. He deserves his position for me. Apart from that, goalkeeper Dean Delaney.
Yeah, good shout, I think.
Yeah, good season.
I know a lot of people were saying Gallagher. There's no Finn Harps players in the team, amazingly. I think Gallagher probably could have been a shout, but I think Delaney was very, very solid for Shells this year.
We talked about the centre-back pairing as well. I was a bit surprised to see neither of them in there.
I'm very, very surprised not to see...
Cowan.
Yeah, well, Keith Cowan, I know a lot of Harps fans as well. Sam Todd is a shout.
Yeah.
But from Drogheda, Kieran Kelly, the left full, he should definitely be in there.
I'm very, very surprised about that. For me, he was the best defender in the league that season.
Scored 6 goals.
Yeah, exactly. And he gave...
Midfield, can't argue with that. Sean Brennan, excellent for Drogheda this season. Yeah. And the two lads at UCD have just been immense.
Yeah, exactly. So not too far off what we'd have gone for ourselves, Kieran.
We just like to moan, really.
Yeah.
exactly. Can I get a manager of the season for overall, so that's including managers from the Premier League.
Yeah, well, it's Kenny, isn't it? There's no doubt about that. He's won the Premiership.
You wouldn't go Colly O'Neill?
No. Well, I mean, he's had a super season as Colly, but and of course he got to the semi-final of that.
I like to always try and give it to someone that hasn't won the league. I just think it's easy to always say, oh, he's won the league. Let's
cop out job,
But no, Kenny's done an amazing job again. And
Colly in the second, in the first.
It's probably fair, yeah. Keith Long has to get a shout again. He's done a great job.
Super job there, yeah. Flops of the season, maybe?
There was loads of those. Yeah. I think you just have to listen back to any of our shows and hear the rants, and you'll fairly pick up who was a flop this year.
Yeah, but I have to say, we were talking about Rovers there early in the season and goalkeepers, but it's really turned it round.
Yeah, before we go, we have an interview still to play. John O'Sullivan from the 42.ie is going to join us.
Maybe talk about a couple of these rumours.
Yeah, we'll go through the transfer rumours and then we'll round off the show with our interview with John O'Sullivan.
Yeah, so there seems to be a lot of talk about Rovers players in particular. And one player that's been linked with Shamrock Rovers, I'm not quite surprised, and is Aaron McInniff. It'd be another going from Derry City to the capital.
Yeah, if you have a trawl through the old forums and things, it seems the feeling seems to be that Rovers are really going hell for leather to get McInniff. And when you consider the amount of goals he scored early on in the season, it's no surprise. I think he'd really add. We spoke earlier in the season about Finn and Bulger maybe they needing that little bit more spark. They've brought in the guy from Bowes. His name has just escaped me all of a sudden. Dylan Watts,
yeah.
And McInniff would be a great player to have alongside him then. So
you had him in your team of the season. So it'd be a superb
signing. Had a poor second half of the season, but he still has that X factor in that Derry team that he could pick up a goal any moment. Good from the spot as well. So
a couple of possible exits from their probably squad players. Gary Shaw, isn't it? Not really lit the place.
He's been linked with Drogheda, and I'm going to put this out there now. If he signs for Drogheda and Longford Town are not interested, I will be very, very angry.
Well, he's obviously improved since his time at Longford Town.
He'll have the full-time experience behind him now, the professionalism, his fitness, you'll imagine, will be, not that his fitness was ever an issue, he will run himself into the ground for the team. I know people are probably going to say, well, Shaw, he's a very direct player. Just because he's a big, tall guy doesn't mean he's not good with his feet. He's quite good at bringing in midfield players into play for Rovers. Longford should definitely be going for him.
Yeah, they say never go back, don't they? But it doesn't make sense to be not in for him. A surprise, and one fellow that's not really capitalised on the talent that he has. I thought his first season in Ireland, he was very highly rated, and he was excellent. Brandon Mealy, are you surprised to see him link with a move away?
Not really, because as you said, he just seems to be not pushing on like we expected. He seems to be going in the other direction. His form this season has been very, very poor. He's had issues with injuries in recent years as well, so I'm not surprised.
A couple of players that might be on the move from Cork, Shane Griffin, we talked about a move to England, and Kieran Sadlier. Is this a possibility to do with the wage cuts in Cork?
I'd imagine so, yeah. McNamee, I'd imagine, is probably going to be gone from there as well. Sadlier, McNamee, if you're to read reports, they don't seem to enjoy working under John Caulfield, so it's going to be interesting to see what type of team Cork put out next year. But I think a lot of people feel now this is going to be some years of Dundalk dominance unless someone from outside that top two can really invest and find a bit of form and push them close. But I think Dundalk, the next year's title is probably going to be theirs, and could be a few more after that too.
And I just wanted to talk to you and get your opinions about one more possible rumour that I raised my eyebrows at, the possibility of Aaron Bulger going to Dundalk, Kieran.
Yeah, I heard this game, or that one recently, when I was at a game, someone that was involved with one of the clubs now mentioned there was a bit of chatter around Bulger. I've seen Bulger play a lot for the Irish under-19s, and I've seen him play earlier in the season against Longford in the League Cup for Rovers. I haven't been impressed with him once.
You think he's buying potential?
Yeah,
what it would be. It's difficult to see how he gets in that team at the moment, but
I know Rovers fans really do rate him so highly, and there's an awful lot of talk about Bulger, but from what I've seen him on 7-8 occasions now, and he's never impressed me. He seems to be a player that likes to pass it backwards and sideways a lot. I think there's better options out there. This is the problem for Dundalk now, John. Are they going to just have to buy potential, because how do you improve that first 11?
Well, I think you have to go abroad, don't you?
But then, is that a guarantee? It never isn't.
Well, no, it isn't. But if they can bring, I'm thinking the likes of when they brought in Vemeland
Christian Adorjan was a decent addition.
Yeah, yeah. So I think they'll maybe take a gamble and look over there again.
Yeah, look, I think we've covered nearly everything tonight. We're going to round up the show now with one of the the most respected men, I think, within League of Ireland. His opinions are always very balanced and very insightful. And we're going to hear from him now. It's John O'Sullivan from the 42.ie. Okay, folks, I'm delighted to say we're going to be joined on the line now by John O'Sullivan from the 42.ie. John has recently wrote an excellent piece on the 42 about the length of the League of Ireland off-season. I know it's something myself and John have discussed on the show here, and we're going to go a little bit more into detail about that because it really does seem to cause quite big issues for a number of League of Ireland clubs. And I'm delighted to say John joins us on the line now. John, welcome.
Thanks very much, Kieran. Good to be on.
So, John, as I said, well done. Excellent piece on the 42, as most of your work is. It's a great publication, and it's great to have someone that's had, I suppose, knowledge of running League of Ireland clubs writing on a weekly basis. Do you want to maybe just, for the folks that didn't read that article, go a little bit more in-depth on what kind of issues League of Ireland clubs do face over the long off-season?
Yeah, I suppose the key thing really is that you have effectively 5 months of the season where more than half of the first division don't play games at all. So most teams finished up on the 20th of September or 22nd of September this year and won't really kick a ball in anger until next February. And I suppose there's a couple of ways that affect, you know, different groups of different pockets within clubs. So players, obviously, with a length of season or off-season that it is, will find it harder to stay fit, and that'll have a knock-on effect on their ability to shine for another club or to pick up a new contract. It's very easy, I'd imagine, when you're in September and looking at October and November and knowing that you're not going to be playing football really back in pre-season until January, to take your own foot off the pedal and let your own standards slip. And that's just human nature. It's nothing about the players themselves. I mean, you know, they'll all have gotten off-season plans from their managers and things like that, but that doesn't necessarily, they all know, I suppose, they might not be back at those clubs. So the motivation there is pretty hard. From a manager then, trying to keep your committee and your players and your other coaching staff focused on the coming season is particularly challenging, because would they take Cove or Longford now, and Neil Finn and Stephen Henderson, they're finished on the 22nd of September, and the FAI Cup final is on the 5th of November or 4th of November. So you've effectively got 2 months there where there's still football going on, and no footballer really is going to commit to a new contract with a club until they know what's out there, what options are out there, what movement is going on. So you're losing 6 or 7 weeks of the off-season straight away, that you're effectively in limbo because the players aren't going to commit. The big issue, obviously, is the administration side and trying to keep the public engaged with the club in the off-season, trying to keep the necessary aspects of the club, like keeping a club office going, paying the phone bill, paying all these things that you require, and also getting your licence and application in at the end of November when there's literally no money coming in at all. And you still have bills coming in. There's still going to be recurring bills. You'll be looking at getting new kit for the new season. You'll be looking at trying to do, pay up front for a bit of merchandise you might hope to sell and recoup costs on and make a bit of a profit over Christmas. So there's a wide variety of ways where the long off-season, hurts the clubs.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the costs that clubs do incur during the off-season, because when I've spoken to people about this, the argument from them is, well, there's not a lot of costs during the off-season, so it shouldn't be an issue. But you clearly have knowledge of the sort of costs that do come in over the off-season.
Well, yeah, I mean, you don't have player wages, which for a lot of clubs could be half to 60% of their budget. But, I mean, that still means that you've got 40 to 50% of your budget that if you spread it over 12 months, there's still money that has to be raised. I mean, this time of year, you'll be filing. A lot of clubs, because of the way licensing works, will choose to be filing their accounts, in November, December. Or, well, let's say starting probably September, October through to December, most clubs will be doing their returns around now, which means that they'll be trying to settle up the revenue. They'll be trying to close off any outstanding bills through the season, so they're not paying a big loss into the coming year. But any club, if you look at City Calling Stadium or say Coleman's Park or even Cavintilly, any club that's at Galway United, any club that's been out of the game since the 22nd of September, most of them still have underage sides competing at some level, and even at a very simple level, that's buses, that's wages for the coaches or expenses for the coaches, and your insurance has to be live and kept up to date and being paid. The FAI will expect every club to be having a phone call to which or a phone number to which they be maintaining a club office. And fans as well do put expectations on a club over the off-season. You still have to keep your website live. You still have to keep social media going. You still have to maintain that interest. And while there might be small costs, the idea that, you know, a club can lock the doors in September and then do nothing before players come back in January just is so far away from the truth of it.
Well, one club that certainly got social media going in the last couple of days is Bohemians. What do you make of the away jersey, John?
I think it's brilliant. I really do. And I think fair play to them for doing something different. You can see straight away that it was mentioned on Breakfast Republic this morning on 2FM, which it'd be very rarely now that, you know, you'd get a prime time comment or a conversation about League of Ireland matters. I know Bo's have fielded, you know, requests for interviews from the US, from all over Europe. I saw that it was up in Sports Illustrated last night. It's a genius piece of marketing. Whatever you think about how tangible the connection between Bob Marley and the club is, working that in and, you know, creating a jersey that will appeal to a huge number of people who'd have nothing to do with Bose and have no interest in Bose is brilliant. And coming up to Christmas, this will sell like hotcakes worldwide, and I've no doubt about it. It's a very, very clever move.
Yeah, credit to Bose on that one. Certainly thinking outside the box, it's great to see. John, going back to the issue of the long off season, what do you feel can be changed? Because obviously people will say straight away more games for first division clubs, but then you have longer contracts. Maybe you have to throw in midweek games, players are part-time. It throws up a lot of issues. What is the solution to this issue?
It is a tough one because for the first time in quite a while now, we have a level number of clubs in the First Division and the Premier Division. And Premier Division, in terms of the professionalism and paying players, it's more easy to accommodate midweek games. It's still a nightmare for some clubs and it's a nightmare for players who are part-time. But Premier Division clubs typically can accommodate those games a little bit easier than First Division clubs. So if you match it, you know, game for game and have four series of games in the First Division as well, exactly as you pointed out, by the nature of the league, with the current structure, you have to squeeze those games into midweek somehow. So really, the easiest way to do is to extend the calendar of the season as well. You know, we can, like, we're running effectively March to end of October at the moment. If you threw on a few weeks, you know, maybe went early February to end of October, start of November, brought the FAI Cup final after the November international break, it extends out the season, but really, and it would shorten the off season to maybe 8 or 9 weeks, which really clubs have to get to. Clubs will always make the argument, and I've said it to people recently, and I had one with Stephen Henderson, that if clubs could squeeze a 36-week season or a 36-game season into 18 weeks, play twice a week, and get guaranteed gate income every single weekend, they would do it in a heartbeat. The reason clubs don't want to go down the line of a longer season is paying the players. But the reality is that the longer the season is, the players you're paying, they're staying fit, they're coming back into pre-season in better condition, and also you have them at a period where schools are open, and you can go and you can do school visits, you can sell the club, you can use the players to promote the club. So the clubs have to get away from this concept that, you know, we're in much the same way as we have, some clubs are moving away from the 40-week contract model for players. In a sense, we have to get away with this idea that League of Ireland clubs are 40-week businesses. It is a year-round operation, and the sooner people move towards that and accept that, the better.
And John, of course, two clubs that you've been involved with previously, Limerick and Athlone. Have you been following those clubs' fortunes closely this season?
Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, both are having difficulties. Athlone's are very pronounced. I read a piece by Daniel MacDonald, where he attended their last home game of the season against Corvram. There's an feeling what it was effectively just the families and, you know, of the players, yeah, or of the staff that was left in the ground. And that is a real shame. I mean, the last time I haven't been up in a while, but the last time I was in at a game in Athlone. I call in, I have a chat every now and again with some of the lads, but the last time I was at a game there was actually the game in 2013 when they got promoted and they were playing Longford Town.
No, I'll move on from that one.
Yeah, well, it was Longford won on the night. But I there must have been 2,000 people in the ground.
Yeah.
And they had concession stands absolutely hopping, and it gave you the sense that with everything clicking, Athlone genuinely could be a Premier Division club and contribute really, really well to the Premier Division, because there is, and look, it's the same with pretty much every club in the league. There's a latent interest there. You capture that. Like, every club has hardcore attendance, and for Athlone at the moment, that's probably somewhere between 100 and 200 people. And obviously, there's a hardcore fan base that are choosing not to go to the games because of the issues they're seeing at board level, which is another story. But we'll say you've got maybe 100 to 200 people who might be the hardcore in Athlone. In Cork City, it's probably grown to about 2,000 now. That's what, regardless of what the quality of the game is or who you're playing, that's kind of the level of people that will turn up. But that's still far less than what those clubs are capable of attracting if they guess, the casual fan, the latent fan interested. So it's really disappointing to see what's going on at Athlone, because from my point of view, having worked in the club for a period, there was a great sense of camaraderie and there was a great sense of togetherness there when I was involved. And that seems to have been lost over the last couple of years. I mean, to have the club being involved in a high court battle with the owner of the stadium, all these things, I mean, that leaks out into your local community and just leaves people asking what's going on there. That's a tough one. Limerick then, I suppose, similar situation in a number of ways, in that if you took Pat Sullivan out of Limerick, at the moment they're probably a first division club with the if you take out the money that Pat has been putting in over the years. I mean, I think I saw somewhere recently that an estimate that he's put close to €5 million into the club, and that's, and again, I said in a piece for the 42 a couple of months ago, that would tally pretty well with what I experienced and what I saw him giving when I was working there. When I was there, now we were playing in Thomond Park, which obviously in League of Ireland terms was a massive cost to the club. While it's great to play in a stadium like that, I remember one particular EA Sports Cup game when we had Waterford down and we basically just opened the VIP section because it was more cost effective than opening up all the gates of the stadium for what was a couple of hundred fans from the EA Sports Cup game inside in the 26,000 seater stadium. And there was times where you could, it was a very weird atmosphere there, a lot of games. But Pat has his critics, but there's things he has delivered for Limerick. Limerick would not be back in the markets field if Pat Sullivan hadn't pushed that. And that's a great stadium that they can build on. Now, talking to Limerick fans over the last couple of months, it seems, or anecdotally, the rates that Limerick are paying for the markets fields are kind of, it's getting up to the level where that Shamrock Rovers might be paying for Tala. And when you're getting up into that level for a club that's not bringing in those quantities of supporters, that becomes very challenging. And Pat's been saying for years that he needs support. But I think where the club is now, and this is just my reading out from talking to people, is there seems to be a sense that there are people interested in coming in, but that the question seems to be, is Pat hanging on to the reins, or is he looking for someone to take over the club that's unrealistic? I hopefully there a bit of sense will occur over the off season, and whether they're a Premier Division or First Division club next year, there'll be a better model there that's not so reliant on Pat. And maybe, hopefully, they've only got two choices really: it's either new investment or drastically pare back the level they're working at.
Finally, John, can you give us a brief prediction? Obviously, you're a massive Cork City man. How do you feel that cup final is going to go? And also, Limerick, do you feel they can beat Harps over the two legs like they failed to do in previous years?
I think Limerick have a very, I like Harps are on an unreal run of form, I think they're going back, you're going back 4 months maybe, and the only team to beat them was Dundalk, and they've clicked, they're playing really good football. They will, I mean, Tommy Barrett, the Limerick team have fought for every point, and considering their budget this year compared to other budgets in the league, it's probably not a surprise where they've ended up. But Tommy's trouble will be, can he get them motivated? Can he get them up? Look, I know Tommy well from my time working in Limerick. My heart would be hoping that they stay up, but he's got a tough battle ahead of him, I think. Finn Harps are very, very good at the last few months. The cup final, look, Dundalk are exceptional. They're worthy champions. They've been playing some fantastic football again this year. Pat Hooban, Michael Duffy, Chris Shields have been probably standout players in the league this year. And after a kind of a shaky start, once Brian Garland got back into the central defence, I think he came back off from injury around May, they've been rock solid. And you know, it'll suit Cork City to go into it as underdogs. What I'd be hopeful for is that, you know, games between the two clubs historically they have been very, very tight. Even though Dundalk have had the edge this year, going back the last maybe 3 or 4 years, it's pretty even in terms of results, and they've always been very tight. So we've got like Cork City players, Barry McNamee, Kieran Sadler, even Ronan Coughlin, who came down from Bray this year, I like, and I hope he gets a chance to go find this. There's players there that that can cause an upset and can produce that bit of magic. So heart says Cork City all the way, head says it's going to be a long, long day.
Yeah, let's just hope it's a better final than the last few, and with the FEI giving tickets out to schoolboy teams, you'd like to see a bigger crowd this year too. John, absolutely superb stuff. Thanks for joining us, and keep up the great work on the 42.ie. We're really enjoying it here.
Thanks, Will and Kieran. Cheers. Likewise with the podcast. Brilliant.
Thanks, John.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
Fantastic stuff as ever from John O'Sullivan. And John, we're about to round things up, but we have one more crucial match report to bring you on this week's show. It was a first ever point on our managerial debut, 2-2 draw for the Arda under-14s against Ballymattan.
Best match of the weekend, Kieran, an absolute ding dong.
It was a cracker, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. We really enjoyed it. I mean, we should have won it. We hit the post in the last minute,
yeah,
Kieran. Heartbreak for the managers.
Yeah, controversial offside decision going against us, but look.
There was nothing controversial about it. He was 2 miles onside. Ridiculous decisions, but look.
First thing we said to the players was respect the officials, so we had to keep.
The irony from you about respecting the officials.
Kids' football is a different kettle of fish, you know, so yeah. I'm on my best behaviour for the under 14.
Anyway, second match this weekend, Kieran. We know our formation, we've got our best 11, so hopefully we'll have 3 points to report back next week.
Yeah, I think I'm right in saying. Yeah, next week will be our cup final special as we brought you last year. It was a. Without a doubt, our biggest show of the season last year. There was a huge reaction online for it, so get yourselves pumped for that. We're going to be bringing you a cup final special with some huge interviews, and I can reveal to you now, Patrick Hooban will be joining us on Between the Stripes LOI podcast next week. So if that's not a reason to tune in, I don't know what is. John, thanks for joining me this week. Hopefully we're going to get 3 points this weekend, the Arda under-14s. I'm sure we can throw a few updates on the old BTS Twitter as well. Thanks for listening, folks. Make sure you share this show far and wide. It is the greatest league in the world, and... yeah, that's been it. Thanks very much. Speak to you next week.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.